Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Romans chapter 12, and I will ask that if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 1, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I was at a football game yesterday, and that was one of the seniors' favorite verses. And for many people, it is their favorite verse, but it's also one of their scariest verses. And I hope today we can clarify something, that it really isn't scary. That if you listen and I listen, it's one of the most free verses in the Bible. That you will see the freedom of God in your life. Now, before we get started, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We just pray, Lord, help us to understand exactly what's going on here. And help us, Lord, to apply it in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would get the glory, the praise, and the honor in everything that is done here this morning. As we come and prepare our hearts before you in the communion service. And also in the teaching, the reading, and the studying, and the looking into your word. We pray that your Spirit has the freedom to, again, search our hearts. Help us to understand. Empower us to do. And be glorified in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I beseech you. Beseech, that word means to call upon. Call to one side. To exhort. To encourage. To plead. Therefore. These things being so, therefore, what's that therefore? Remember, we always talk about that. If there's a therefore, it's because it's something previously that's been said. And if you will, it's through chapters 1 through 11. What are some of those things? Well, if you will, first of all, we understood something, that we were all sinners, Romans 3:23. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. We are justified by God's grace, Romans 3:24. We are declared righteous through faith, Romans 4:5. We are dead to sin, no longer slaves, but alive and free in Christ, Romans 6:11, if you really want to get into it. There is no condemnation in Christ, Romans 8:1. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, Romans 8:11. Bearing witness that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. Making us joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. Guaranteeing that we will be conformed to his Son, Romans 8:29. We will be glorified, Romans 8:30. So we are more than conquerors, Romans 8:37. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:38 and 39. That promises of God to Israel and to us are irrevocable, Romans 11:29. That God is the originator, sustainer, and fulfiller of all these things, Romans 11:36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And all the church just says, amen. Amen. All done by his mercies. God, I hope you hear this. God is always the initiator. We are to respond. And that's the basis of this commitment, is that we are responding to what God has already done. It's done. It's the outflow. So our response, again, Paul saying, I beseech you, I urge you, I exhort you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Bodies here means a total being. Body, soul, mind, and spirit. Your will. Submitting it unto God before Christ. Before Christ, we used our bodies. for the sin nature of the world, the pleasures of the world, the purposes of the world, for our own selfish, sinful pleasures and purposes. But now in Christ, we belong to Him. Our bodies are now God's temple. I know that seems weird. Sometimes you wish that God would just stand up in your heart and say, okay, enough. Go this way, go that way. But again, if we hear this morning, the ears will become even clearer to that voice that says, this is the way you shall go. But to understand, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God, both in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Romans 8:9, we already read, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's not his. In Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but now present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. God's spirit in us, God working through us, God using us. And again, the urging here is to present our bodies. That word present, as Warren Wiersbe says, the verb present is the verse means present once for all. You already did it. If you've come to Christ, then you've already presented your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, sacrifice was like a burnt offering. If you will, it was all in. The animal didn't say, hey, could you just maybe take a leg or something? And we'll be good with that? No, it was a total commitment, which again would be a living sacrifice. We know as Isaac was a living sacrifice. He willingly submitted himself unto his father. And before he died, you know the passage. The Lord spoke to Abraham and says, no, don't do it. Again, it was a picture of Christ because Christ was a living sacrifice. He offered himself up. It's a total offering. It's everything that I am. Now, there's a story, and I can't confirm this. It's not in your word. It's not in your Bible, so don't look for it. But it said that the reason why, again, that God allowed Adam to be alone at first was for him to figure out that he was alone. And then the Lord called Adam and said, come here, Adam. Tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to make you a helpmate. She's going to be perfect. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be everything you desire. But even more so, you'll be everything she desires. She'll love you unconditionally. She'll serve you. She'll commit everything that she does unto you. She'll respect you. She'll honor you. She'll do everything at your whim and your command. And Adam goes, I like that. That's really good. But what's this going to cost me? The Lord said, just an arm and a leg. Adam thought for a second and then said, Lord, what can I get for a rib? Moving right along. Total commitment. All of it. Every part of you. Everything that you are. Because we've already talked about that He is the originator, the sustainer, and the fulfillment of all things. That He has given all things unto us, especially pertaining unto godliness. That everything that God has revealed to us is ours and is irrevocable. And again, we see our response to this commitment. Now, in the Concise Dictionary about a Living Sacrifice, the sacrifice designates anything which, having been devoted to a holy purpose, cannot be called back. Now we understand what Paul was saying. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Completely, I am dead to myself. I am completely committed to you. I've given my life for you because you've already given your life for me. Understanding that my life is in your hands. It's not for me to dictate to you, but you to reveal to me what's my purpose. What's my place for your purpose, for your glory? Now, God's response now to us offering this up to him is, if you notice, is that, again, holy, acceptable to God. So holy, again, means to be separated unto God. It means twofold, if you will. One is that God declares you holy, and he also says, now you are separated for my purpose. But it's acceptable, which means well-pleasing. So what's the normal logical response? Again, we see it again here. I'm going back to 33. Holy, acceptable with God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable means logical. So first, all that God has done for us, it's the right response. And our commitment is the logical response. Think with me, what other thing can you do? As the psalmist said, what should I render unto the Lord for all of his sacrifice and to his benefits to me? I know what I'll do. I'll offer the sacrifice of praise to him. It's, I will give myself, I will take the cup of salvation, I'll pay my vows now into his presence, in the fullness of all his people. Meaning, I will declare that he is my salvation, he is my everything, and I will declare it to all. It's all that I am. It's all that I was meant to be. You still struggling with your purpose and who you are? May I suggest to you, just give up and give it to him. But he might call me to something I don't want to do. Trust me, this life is not the end. But we're going to find out it's the workplace of God's Spirit in our hearts. Where is it best that God can use you should be the question, not where can I get the most pleasure? What's the best benefit for me? But God, where do you want me? As an instrument of righteousness unto you. Now notice something here. It's for what? It's for his reasonable service. That word service is divine service. It's the service of worship of God as we yield ourselves to God daily. It's an act of worship to God. Our bodies are the expression of the new life that God is working in us. That now life expresses our worship and gratitude to God in everything that we do, everything that we are, that we do all things unto him, because not only because for his good pleasure, but he's chosen us to be a different generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his light. See, you all have a high calling. It doesn't matter what you think your place is here, because remember something. Jesus wiped that all out. He said the greatest in the kingdom is the least. Meaning this, folks, you don't know who's great in God's kingdom because God sees you for the faithfulness that he's called you to do in whatever capacity that is. Whether you feel like I'm just a housewife. No, you're not. God has designated and has given you a purpose to be a housewife for his glory and his purpose. That he reveals himself in and through you, not only to your children, but to other mothers, to other people. Remember, God is people-minded. He's not interested in just one segment of the population, but every population, every person on this earth. So it doesn't matter what we do unto him, if it's for his purpose and his glory, then his purposes are being fulfilled. Whether you're a garbage collector, whether you're a genius and you work as a physicist, whatever your purpose is not for you to declare what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is noble, what is not, but it's allow God to do his thing in you. That's the glory. That's the praise, that's the honor that we so desire to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. So, knowing this, then what is the commitment in action? Well, we find that in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First, it's a negative thing. Do not be conformed. To conform oneself, mind, and character to another pattern. In this case, the pattern is the world, this age. It refers to the system of beliefs, of values, of the spirit of the age. It's to understand that now God has called us, separate us from the world. He calls us to not walk among them in the sense of being a part of that mold, of being shaped. In fact, speaking of the spirit of the age, in Galatians 1:4 it says, Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says, whose mind the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In Ephesians 2:2 it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In Ephesians 6:12 it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5:19. So, see, the thing is we are in a world right now. If you will, it's pretty cush. It is. We complain, we whine, but let's face it. Then we go into our warm or cool houses. We get our cool drink from the refrigerator. We take the snack of chips or whatever. We sit in an easy chair. And we say, my life's hard. For the majority of the world is striving to survive daily. Daily, folks. Now, again, it's not for us to say, oh, I must sell everything and because no. It's to understand that everybody's called for a purpose and a place in God's kingdom. But it's also, like we talked about before, understanding this world is against God. Have you figured that out? This world's not for God. In Proverbs 8:31, it says, those who love death hate God. And we see that all around us, whether it be abortion, or whether it be the wars, whether it be murder. Again, God has given life. He breathed into us, and he said, that is very good. And the enemy wants to kill and destroy everything that God has created that is good. Name you, brothers and sisters. So what better way can he do but to conform you into his thinking? Think about yourself. Think about your flesh. Think about your pleasure. Think about your needs. Think about your wants. God says, hey, I got that all taken care of. See all this that I've done, and I promise it's going to come to pass. Why? Because I put my name on it. I put my guarantee on it. All I'm asking you to do now is just follow me. Walk with me. Don't keep your eyes on yourself. Don't keep your eyes on your situation. Keep your eyes on me. And I know it's hard. It's hard for all of us. I'm not standing here saying that I got it all down. I don't. But it's stepping back and saying, hey, folks, listen up. Wake up. The world is not for you because the world is in control of the God of this age. And the God of this age is Satan. He's a fallen angel. He can't stand anybody that has the image of God. First of all, his son, and now, guess what? Each of you. He can't stand the thought of what God is going to do in and through you. Do you know that? Because though he made man as little below the angels, he has exalted him above the angels. What does that mean? I have no idea. But it's a glory that, again, we can't conceive here. But it's something we just say, wow. It should humble us. So as John MacArthur says, conform refers to assuming an outward expression that does not reflect what really is going on inside. What does that mean? It means this, is that you are being completely changed from within. That's why the next word says transformed. The positive is, but be transformed. The Greek is metamorpho. Where we get the word metamorphosis? We all know what that is. Cocoon? Chrysalis? What happens inside? It gets gooey. It gets gooey inside. If you don't know that, well, I don't really recommend this. But if you stepped on one, you would find out. Not that I have ever done that in my whole life, but understand, it's gooey. Because there's a change that's happening inside. That's what's happening with you, a change. You're being transformed. The word is used four times in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 9, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, led them up on a high mountain apart from themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Matthew says, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light, meaning God, Christ's glory. He basically revealed a little bit. Couldn't do all of it, otherwise it would have melted everybody. But he revealed his glory. Where did it come from? Did it come from like Moses when he was standing in God's presence and shined because of God's glory like the moon? No. He shined from within. He let the glory out. Now here's the thing that's mysterious and wonderful. What is this? That's the idea for you and me now because the Holy Spirit's in us. So the glory and the praise and everything that is basically transformed through us is not us, but Him. It's as we yield to Him. His glory now is manifested. Not yours, not mine. Anything that we do in Christ, He gets the glory, not you. Who are you? Who am I? It's all about Him. And we just say, amen, praise God, hallelujah. Because I know something, you've struggled. We've sang the songs. We're going to talk about it too as we get to communion. How I failed the Lord this week. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever. But see, the reality is God's changing you from the inside. So the idea here is stop conforming, letting the world force you into its mold and understand, let God do His thing through you. For you're His workmanship. The work that He wants to do through you is just eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. The work that God is doing in you now, it's a wonderful work. It's an amazing work. Oh, you don't see it. The scaffolding's up though, trust me. The work's being done. And God uses the outside things of this world, even your job, which maybe you can't stand, to mold and form you into His image, not the world's. And again, the idea here is letting it come from within. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you know what that is? It's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. See, it's as God does His work in and through you. This is the natural fruit. This is the natural bearing that comes to the outside. It's not you going, oh, I want this to happen. It's like we've said before, you don't go by a tree and a tree is an apple tree and it's going, I'm trying to produce apples here. It's not like the Wizard of Oz, okay? Maybe you don't know that's an old movie. But it's not that trees are talking. They're not trying to force the fruit out. See, what is really happens there is the gardener puts the seed in there. He nurtures the seed. The tree blossoms. He cuts off the branches that need to trim it. But then the fruit is born from, again, the taking care of from within, the roots, the trunk, the branches, the fruit. And that's the idea here is God's doing that wonderful work in each of us. Even though maybe you don't see it now, remember something. When God does something, it's always perfect. Oh. Again, take heart, dear ones. You will be perfect. You will. Not because I declare it, because God says so. And everybody just says, amen. So be it. God, do your work in me. God, do your work for your glory. Now, transform in the Greek grammar is keep on being transformed. How? Don't be conformed to this world. Yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. But also, renewing your mind. Change the way you think. Not the way the world does. The Holy Spirit changes your mind into the way God thinks as revealed in His word. Now, be fair and let's be honest with each other. that if you keep listening to the things of the world, you're going to get very discouraged. Or you're going to get misled. That's just the way it is. Each of us. Why do you think they have these commercials about buying new cars, buying the bigger house, get this, get that? I mean, every time you turn on the TV, or actually anything now, there's advertisements everywhere. You can't get away from it. You got to have something different. And it's interesting is if you have an ailment, it's okay. There's an answer for it. They got a pill. If you have, you know, an earache, I don't know if that's one or not, but just throw it out there, then take this pill and you won't have an earache. But what might happen is your lips might fall off. Your teeth are going to go south. And that limp that you have, oh, it's going to get worse. In fact, your foot's going to fall off. But that only happens once in a while. Take this pill and you won't have the earache. But see, they're selling this stuff. And it's regardless of what your ailment is, you think, oh, I got that. I need that. And the biggest thing is, and please don't misunderstand me, but man, depression sure has leaped greatly into the mindset of people. Why? Because they're so discouraged of who they are rather than discovering what God says, I will make of you. Don't be conformed to the lies of this world. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Colossians 3:16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing or exhorting one another. Now, knowing that is to get into the Word of God, listen to good biblical teaching, but also teach. You Sunday school teachers, you're learning. Don't think it's just for the kids, you're learning. It's one of the full things I have about teaching, what I love about it, because I want to learn. I'm a disciple. I want to learn. I want to grow. And so my joy is I get to go into a study room, which I do have a desire for. Not everybody does. You're not supposed to study hours and hours. That's not for everybody. It's for those that are called for that, yes. But still, each of you, and I mean each of you in this room, should have a love for the Word of God. And if you don't, then ask for it. Because the enemy doesn't want you opening God's Word. He doesn't want you to learn. He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to know about these promises that are irrevocable from God. And that everything in Christ and Jesus is amen. So be it. He doesn't want you to know these things. But see, he also wants us to exhort each other with it. To share with each other. Hey, you know what? I was reading this morning and this is what I read in the Bible. And then this happened. How it applied. Whether I was sharing with somebody else and telling them, oh, I went through the same thing. And this is how the Lord ministered to me. See, you're exhorting, but you're also teaching, but you're also growing. And you're in the Word. And see, the thing is what we got to do is get our mindset better on the Word of God. On His Word, on His truth, on the power and His name, His character. And not the things of this world, because it's passing away. How does that work for you? How does that change for you? See, it's read the Word. You should all be reading the Word every day. But it also means studying the Word. Looking cross-references. Listen to teachers. Biblical teachers, please. There's a lot of nuts out there. But see, that's what happens too. It's the old saying, just heard it again. The person that was a teller or anybody else, especially to authenticate dollar bills and bills made up. Well, this is going to go the way of the world, isn't it? But still, to understand what was real and genuine was to handle the real stuff all the time. So when the fake paper came in, they knew exactly what it was. And that's the same thing with you being in the Word of God, is that you can say, oh, this guy's a little off there. Now, it doesn't mean doctrinally you're going to understand and agree with everybody. That's just not the way it works. If you know he's a good teacher, there's going to be times that you may not agree with him. That's okay. There's not one teacher, well, there is a couple of them, but very few teachers I agree 100% with. But it doesn't mean I say, I didn't listen to you anymore. I don't think what that passage means when it doesn't take away from the true essence of the gospel message. But it's getting into the Word. But see, it's critically thinking. See, God, you say, why is there so many denominations? Why is there so many? Because God wants you to think. God wants you to get into His Word. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants to speak to you. God wants to teach you. And some things, I'll be honest with you, but the church is arguing about isn't important. Those things that are important, must we stand firm in? Must stand firm in. But it's also known understanding too, is not only exhorting, it's not only listening to good Bible teaching, it's not only getting to Word. If you notice too in this Colossians passage, it says, admonishing, exhorting one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's what you were all doing. I was sitting in the back just listening to y'all. You guys sing beautifully. Fills the room. It really does. You are exhorting God. You are praising Him. You are putting Him on His throne where He deserves to be. You are focusing on Him and not yourself. You're not focusing whether you're singing in tune or not. You're lifting up your heart in praise and admiration to Him for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. You get out of yourself when you worship. Notice it's Psalms too, and really we have a book of Psalms. And really that too is the focus of Psalms. You'll see that maybe the psalmist will say, I'm going through this struggle, Lord, where are you? But then he goes back and says, but you, O Lord, are faithful. You are true. It gets back to the heart of the issue, how good God is. To sing, to worship, to listen to worship music, to praise Him, to give Him the glory and the honor which He so richly deserves. And I know that's what you do. I commend you for that. And I commend you that you are students of the Word. Continue doing so. Don't give up. Don't give in. Realize that when you understand the renewing of God's Word, you're being washed. You're being cleansed in your mind. And He's redirecting your thoughts to the One who loves you completely. Keep at it. Don't give in. The enemy's going to tell you you're too tired. The enemy's going to tell you not to do it. The enemy's going to tell you to pick up, well, I was going to say the paper, but that doesn't even exist anymore. Unless you got $5 a day to buy it. I mean, it's ridiculous. But whatever it is that you read, the book, those are going away too, aren't they? The tablet, I don't know, whatever you read from. The point is make sure that you spend the right time with Him too. Make it a discipline. Understand too, as we come to this, what are the effects of the gospel message or of transforming? It's not only the renewing of your mind, but you may prove. That word prove, it means to test what is genuine. The testimonies of God that what? Look, that He is good, that it is good. That is acceptable, well-pleasing. It's perfect. His perfect will. A transforming you into His perfect will. Perfect. So let's put this together then. So God has done all these things, creating you, creating your very body, creating every talent and gift you have, knowing about your weaknesses, understanding your struggles, understanding everything about you. It's like this. God has presented the perfect body Himself. He died on the cross. And then He says, now give me your broken body. Give me your depleted body. Give me everything about you don't like. Give me you. It's like, basically, if you will, it's the old analogy that pastors have used. It's like the Lord says, give me your roller skate. You only have one, but give me your roller skate. Now, I don't want to give it to you. Give me your roller skate. Look, give me your roller skate. And then we finally give Him our roller skate without the other one. And then He says, now come here. Look, this is your private jet. This is how you get along now. Meaning you can't compare what you're giving. It's broken. It's missing things. Maybe you don't even have all four wheels on your skate. Maybe you only have three, maybe only two. God says, give it to me. Give it to me. What are we holding back when He's given so much? What do you have to hold back that He hasn't given you? Remember, He's the originator. He's the sustainer. And He's the end, the completion of all things. And the work that He is doing in you, did I mention it, that it's amazing? It's to transform you. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, your perfection, your holiness. I love what the psalmist said. You'll recognize it. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Now, again, in Hebrews, that pertains to Jesus Christ. But you want to know something that pertains to you and I now, too? Because, see, it's His glory that is shining in and through all of us. It is for us to delight to do His will, for His will is perfect. But it's also understanding something else, that as you put these things to practice, you're going to have the gift of understanding what His perfect will is for your life. You abide in me. My word abides in you. Whatever you ask, we'll have. Really, if you will, to interpret that is to understand something. Because you want my will. You understand my will. Why is not God moving in this country? It's because we have it all laid out. God, if you do this, God, if you do that. When we learned last week, God doesn't need your opinion. God doesn't owe you anything. But what God desires goes beyond your thought to be able to think. That is that God just wants you, and He wants to reveal His perfect will in your life. And He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He doesn't want to abandon us. He wants to reveal to us, in us, through us. Question again comes down to it again. See, be transformed every day. Every day make this decision that I will not be conformed to this world. Every day make the commitment. I will also not conform to this world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Yielding myself to your spirit, that you have your way completely with me. Lord, search me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. If there's anything that's hindering me, Lord, I pray that you remove it. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. But Lord, I pray more than anything else, give me a heart that is totally devoted to you daily. Help me to stop focusing on my failure and help me to turn my heart towards you, understanding something, that I am being transformed. Remember, I said that word's used 4 times. And I only gave you 3. Want to hear the 4th one? You're saying, we have a choice? No, you don't. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's doing it. Oh, so much better if we just yield to it. Now you understand. Now I understand. It's all that He's done. Now He says, give me your brokenness. Give me all of you. Don't hold back. It's as Tozer said, you can do this 2 ways. You can give it all to Him and say, here it is. Or you can try the leg, the arm, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then Trust me, he says, it's a long process. So see, each of us has this ability to do something, to learn to give it all daily, to keep growing in that, to keep giving in that, knowing that his work is being done. And all I have to do is not only yield, but just worship, giving him the glory, the praise, and the honor. As we come to the communion part of this service, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And I just want to put this into your hearts and minds as the worship group comes up here. And when the elements are handed out, hold on to them. We'll do it together. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 5. Therefore, when he, Christ, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Let me read that again. Let's do it again. Verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away the sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's paid it all. We take, again, the element of the bread, represents his body, that he, the perfect sacrifice, gave himself up for us one time. And in that giving of his perfectness, his perfect body, dying on the cross, then he has declared your sins forgiven. But not only that, again, making a new covenant with the Jews. A covenant that is now new, brand new. A covenant that guarantees your sanctification, your perfection, my perfection in him, that you has declared holy. This is the new covenant, my blood, that your sins are washed and you are made new. That you and I now, as we sit here, as we meditate on these things, he also declares that now we have the rights, because we are now children, that he has given us, that we can come boldly before him in his throne. The only thing that keeps you out is you. Let us come boldly this morning. You have sins that you need to confess. Confess it. Confess it and understand it's clean. You're washed. You're forgiven. Don't forget the sacrifice. Understand now that you are being transformed. So come on now. Take him at his word, knowing that I am changing. And I yield myself to him for his work, for his will, for his purpose, for his glory, for his honor, because of his love that he demonstrated. And the work that he now is doing in our lives, it's a past work, it's a present work, but it's a future. It shall be done. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm sorry. One more time. Father, we just thank you for these truths. My prayer for each of us, Lord, that it would sink into our hearts. Bind the enemy from stealing this seed of truth that we have learned this morning. Help each of us understand all the things that you have done. Well, at least begin to understand all that you have done for us and in us. Let the truths of this morning, Lord, just resonate in our hearts so that we come willing as a living sacrifice, knowing, Lord, that it's not the end, but it's truly the beginning of a work that you are committing in our lives. And so we desire to commit ourselves to that work, yielding ourselves to you. Help us daily learn what it means to yield ourselves to your Spirit so that you may have your way with us, understanding that the transformation is really happening. And really, it's about yielding and allowing it to come out, bearing the fruit that you desire in our lives, revealing again the heart of our Father. Lord, bless our ears, bless our heart, and let these truths be resonated and come to life as seed in the springtime. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.